2015 could be a landmark year for the environment. Delegates from nearly 200 countries will meet in Paris at the end of the year. Now, their plan is to hammer out the first worldwide emissions reduction agreement. The goal? To limit temperature increases to 2 degrees Celsius. That's the level scientists say will prevent the worst impacts of global warming. Carolyn Beeler charts some possible roadblocks on the road ahead.
Todos han leído el documento, lo han analizado.
Around 2 a.m. on Sunday, December 14th, exhausted-looking UN negotiators struck the closing gavel on the 20th UN Conference of the Parties in Lima, Peru.
I declare the 20th session of the Conference of the Parties closed.
After more than 36 hours of straight negotiating, the delegates had reached a breakthrough, a blueprint for the first deal committing every country in the world to reduce fossil fuel emissions. The Lima Accord requires countries to set their own goals for emissions cuts and report them to the international community in what's been called a name and shame agreement rather than a formal treaty.
The Lima Accord was largely about keeping all the countries on the table by creating a very broad and general framework that they could all agree to.
That's former Clinton climate advisor Paul Bledsoe, who was in Lima for the conference.
The amount of work to do ahead of Paris is immense and is going to take really nonstop negotiation over the next year.
Those negotiations will center around a handful of key sticking points. One is how the international community will monitor and verify whether countries are actually reducing emissions as much as they promise.
The Chinese, for example, have indicated a deep unwillingness to open up their heavy industry to verification by inspectors. So that's one issue that's going to be very difficult.
This debate turns on member nation sovereignty and how much a government is willing to submit its authority to international oversight. The Citizens Climate Lobby's Joseph Robertson guesses not all that willing.
Since no one really thinks there's going to be an international, you know, emissions police force, and I don't think anyone's arguing for that seriously, the question is, how aggressive do you have to be in the treaty language to get all of the major emitters to actually demonstrate what they're doing?
A second potential roadblock, Paul Bledsoe says, is who will pick up the tab for climate change adaptation and green development for poorer countries.
Countries have claimed that they are going to create a $100 billion annual green climate fund to deal with these issues starting in 2020. Right now, there are only about $10 billion in pledges. So that's a key issue of contention.
Financing is a primary negotiating concern for the 48-country bloc called the Least Developed Countries. Think Bangladesh, Cambodia, and Ethiopia. They historically have done the least to cause climate change, but see its effects the most, and the UN framework promises funds to help them combat rising seas and warming temperatures.
Pledges are made, but they aren't necessarily delivered on time, and that's basically where the sticking point is.
Bangladeshi climate expert Salil Mul Haq serves as an advisor to the Least Developed Countries bloc.
The rich countries who are making these pledges need to now deliver the money that they have promised.
The first week of meetings in Lima was dominated by conversations about who should get how much money, paid out by whom. Figuring out how to get governments and the private sector to pitch in could be the defining struggle on the pathway to Paris. Also at Lima, leaders decided not to mandate specific emissions cuts, but allow each country to submit its own targets. That, Paul Bledsoe says, leads to the third big negotiating issue.
Simply the size of the emissions cuts that are pledged by major countries.
Nations are required to submit their reduction targets by the end of March. In the following months, UN officials will crunch the numbers to see how global temperatures would fare if the plans were enacted. The agreed-upon goal is to limit warming to 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial temperatures. But even that fundamental fact, the least developed countries are challenging, says Haq.
The global agreement is 2 degrees, but the least developed countries are asking for 1.5 degrees. The difference between 1.5 degrees and 2 degrees is essentially, at 2 degrees, the rich save themselves. But at 1.5 degrees, that would apply to the whole world.
The least developed countries aren't getting any traction on this more stringent goal yet, but Haq says they won't give up. Today, even at the very beginning of the race to Paris, Paul Bledsoe thinks it will be a sprint to the finish, just like Lima was. However, bolstered by an early emissions pact between the U.S. and China, Bledsoe does think global leaders will sign an agreement in the end.
And the reason is that I think international pressure is going to be withering on any country or group of countries who try to stop an agreement.
For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.